Welcome to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign's Big Money Podcast. It's Tuesday, September 28th, and the Democracy Campaign released a report today that shows legislative candidates raised a record $1.9 million in July and August, the two full months leading up to the fall primaries. Their fundraising was 26% higher than the $1.5 million they raised at the same time in 2006, which was the last comparable gubernatorial election year. This year's July-August fundraising even beat the nearly $1.8 million legislative candidates raised in 2008 when they didn't have to compete for campaign contributions with races for statewide office like governor, attorney general, and U.S. Senate. Campaign finance records showed legislative candidates had a combined $5.3 million in their campaign accounts August 30th, another record for a comparable gubernatorial election year. It's likely a substantial portion of the money raised by most legislative candidates was used in the 2 weeks leading up to the September 14th primaries, where 34 of 49 legislative primaries were won by the candidates who spent the most, including a Democratic state Senate candidate in Milwaukee who beat an incumbent. In that contest, however, there was more going on than just candidate spending. With us to talk about the Democracy Campaign's report and some of the races is the group's executive director, Mike McCabe. Mike, the $1.9 million raised by legislative candidates in July and August this election year, the so-called pre-primary reporting period, was a record, but it doesn't seem like that much money. What's significant about this?
Well, raising $1.9 million in 2 months seems like a lot to me, but if you compare this to a race for governor, for example, we've already seen that race reach the $20 million mark just through the primary. Insane amounts of money are being spent on a statewide race like that one. And legislative races aren't going to be on a par with those kinds of campaigns, but still $1.9 million in 2 months is a record for this particular period. Tremendous amount of money. I think what's particularly significant about it is that this money is being raised in a pretty bad economy, and it's being raised when candidates for legislature are competing for money with candidates for governor who are in this race that has already reached the $20 million mark through the primary. And, of course, there's an extremely competitive U.S. Senate race where the candidates are running statewide, and huge sums of money are being spent there. It's going to be in the tens of millions when all is said and done in that race. So there are some really expensive races here in Wisconsin, some very, very competitive ones that are drawing huge amounts of money. Candidates for the legislature are having to compete in that environment, and they're obviously able to find huge sources of money because they did set an all-time record for this particular period, and almost $2 million in 2 months is an amazing amount of money. So it just shows that the political economy seems recession-proof, and there seems to be this bottomless well of money that candidates can tap into when they're going to the wealthy donors and the special interests for campaign support.
Okay. An incumbent lost in a legislative primary, and outside special interest groups waged a nasty mail campaign in that race, two things you don't often see occur in a Wisconsin legislative primary. Can you talk a little bit about this race and what happened there?
Yeah, the 7th State Senate District was a situation where you had an incumbent state senator, Jeff Plaley, running against an insurgent challenger. This was really one of those races that we've seen an awful lot more of on the other side, on the Republican side, and you've seen it nationally with these Tea Party candidates who are challenging establishment Republican office holders and in some cases knocking them off, as Christine O'Donnell did in Delaware, for example. I haven't seen as much of that on the Democratic side, but this is almost one of those races where it was about purity, about ideological purity. And Jeff Plaley is a very conservative Democrat. He, gets a lot of Republican support in his district, and he was challenged by a far more liberal candidate. And as you say, what was really striking about this race is that in a primary election, you had some outside interest groups come in and spend heavily in that race. And so it got down to more conservative and liberal interest groups duking it out. You had an outfit called the Citizens for a Progressive Wisconsin, which we had never seen before. It's an upstart group that was mostly funded by labor, but also by a retiring member of the state assembly, Spencer Black, who was always one of the legislature's most liberal members. And then on Paley's defense, you had a group called American Federation for Children, which is a reincarnation of an outfit called All Children Matter. And there you had former Assembly Speaker Scott Jensen involved in pulling the levers over there. And you had money from proponents of school vouchers, the use of public money for private schools, that kind of thing. And you had this former Republican speaker who was very involved in running that operation. Those groups spent very heavily in that race. Ultimately, Paley became one of the incumbents to fall, and it was a situation where I think you've really got to battle for the soul of the party. And there was an example of liberal forces trying to purify the party in that seat.
Some of those mail pieces against Paley, which can be viewed on the Democracy Campaign's website under the Hijacking 2010 feature, chided Paley for cable and telecommunications bills that he sponsored in recent years, which is also something the Democracy Campaign has pointed out, the number of telecommunications industry contributions and cable industry contributions he got, I think, 2 and 3 years ago when those bills were in play.
Well, Jeff Paley always, acted more like a Republican than a Democrat in many ways, and received a heck of a lot of money from the telecommunications industry, and did sponsor legislation that the industry favored. That became a sticking point in this race. It became one of the areas where he was intensely challenged, and the irony here was that you really had Republican interests trying to come to his defense in a Democratic primary. But in the end, it was the more liberal Democrat, Larson, who ended up winning that seat.
For those legislative candidates who had primary races, the candidate who spent the most won 34 of 49 of them, about two of every three races. Anyone who has followed the Democracy Campaign knows the group has followed this trend in the last several elections. Is it getting any better? And why is it so bad that the candidate who worked hard to raise more money than his competitors shouldn't win most of the time?
Well, really what we saw this time falls right along the norm. We've seen in past races as many as 4 out of 5 candidates who raised and spent the most money winning. It goes to as low as 2/3. This time it was close to 70%. So it was right in the range of what we've seen now for quite a few years. And in a sense, that's surprising to me because in this year, of all years, seems like you've got an awful lot of voter unrest, an awful lot of desire to sort of throw the bums out. Incumbents always seem to have the financial advantage. They've got a huge advantage in terms of raising money all the time that they're in office. They sit on big war chests. They tend to come in with a commanding financial advantage over challengers. But this is a tough year for incumbents to run, so you'd almost assume that you'd see fewer candidates with the most money winning these races, but that's not what we're seeing. We're still seeing those who have the financial advantage typically winning. And I tell you, one of the things you got to look at is the fact that our legislators and all these candidates are getting their money from a group of people, a core of donors who represent less than 1% of the state's population. And that's what's wrong with this, is that all this money is coming from less than 1% of the people, and it puts those recipients of that special interest, those special interest donations, in such a commanding position. It makes them almost impossible to beat. And so, what we've essentially seen in our society is a fence that's been constructed around the ring where candidates are supposed to toss their hats into. And you've got to pay a big entry fee to get in that ring. And so we're seeing too many people priced out of the political marketplace, too many people who would have good ideas and a lot to offer voters who are being discouraged from running in the first place. And if they do jump in and they don't have the ability to raise a lot of money, they don't have a lot of special interest friends, they are up against a difficult challenge. They really are behind the eight ball when it comes to trying to win elections. And our figures are showing that. Even in this very volatile year, the people with the most money are tending to win.
As far as fundraising and cash on hand go, who are some of the standout legislative candidates or races out there, and what's going on with some of their races?
Well, you know, there's a race in the Milwaukee area in particular, the Wauwatosa Assembly or the State Senate seat, used to be held by a Republican, now is held by a Democrat, Jim Sullivan, but he's being challenged by a sitting Republican State Assembly Representative, Leah Vukmir. That is a very pricey race. That's one where the money is flowing very freely. It's obviously hyper-competitive, and it's one of those classic swing districts. It's been represented by a Republican in the past. Now a Democrat holds it. The Republicans see this as an opportunity to take back a seat. That one is definitely one to watch. It seems like the candidates who are right at the top of our list in terms of fundraising and in terms of cash balance, when you look at the war chest, they tend to be Democratic senators who are trying to defend seats that are pretty competitive districts where Republicans are looking to go in and steal a seat. People like Pat Kreitlow up in the Eau Claire area, Russ Decker, the Senate Majority Leader up in the Wausau area. Those are the folks, Jim Sullivan, who I just mentioned. They're right at the top of the list in terms of the people who are sitting on the most money, trying to defend seats against Republican attempts. And if the Republicans take over the state Senate, it'll be in those districts where they get key pickups to do that.
Does that go hand in hand with the whole anti-incumbent mood this year? Because in previous years, you'd hear more about open seats, like Alan Lissay is vacating this year, Judy Robeson is leaving this year, and you're not seeing a lot of banter and talk about open seats, which usually draw a lot of money. Here, you're hearing a lot more about the freshman Democrats from 2006, Sullivan, Kreitlow, yep, even Kathleen Vinehout.
Excellent point, because usually where we see the real spending wars occur are in open seats where there's no incumbent running, and where there's an incumbent running, traditionally people stay away. They just figure the incumbent's too difficult to beat. This year, obviously there's a different mood, and there's a feeling that incumbents can be picked off. And so we're seeing a number of incumbents being very intensely challenged. Those incumbents are responding, of course, by raising boatloads of money and trying to protect their seats by simply overwhelming their opponents financially.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be an interesting November. 5 weeks from today is the November 2nd election. Thanks for your comments, Mike. For more details about legislative candidate fundraising and spending before the primary elections, please check out the Democracy Campaign's September 28th report on its website. And thanks for listening.